Hey, greetings. This is Brother James, DontPerish.com, John 4:24 Radio. Hey, I got a teaching for you today, and I'm right back to the series I was doing on divorce and remarriage. Today, we're going to talk about Jesus and the exception clause. Jesus and the exception clause. Let's talk about this part of Scripture. You know, this has caused much discussion and controversy. And scripture twisters abound on this topic. They love to twist this topic, the scripture area. And I'm going to refute that today. Let me show you how their scripture twisting causes them to theologically hang themselves, put more nails in their coffin, leave their fronts wide open, meaning good theology covers you in all areas, but they are left wide open because of their false heretical doctrines. Let's read Matthew 19:9. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery. He also talks about that in the book of Mark. So if we look at the bond between a man and a woman, this all becomes very understandable and clear-cut in the Word of God. The bond of a man and woman is them becoming one flesh. The two becoming one flesh. Read about that in Genesis. I just did a teaching on one flesh. The two are one flesh together in their sexual intimacy. And if they lay with another, like Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 6, where if a man goes and lays with a harlot, he makes another one flesh covenant. What happens? You void your covenant because you've now laid with someone else. One flesh, the two made one. There's no room for bringing someone else in there. So that makes it very clear. That word that we're talking about, the scripture I read to you, fornication, it's porneia in the Greek. It means sexual immorality or adultery. Fornication, adultery, sexual immorality. That's what it means. Jesus backs it up with this verse telling us that sexual fornication, adultery in a marriage bond cuts that marriage bond and allows for divorce. Fornication or adultery allows you to put her away, and it's not causing her to go commit adultery. Why? She's already committed adultery. Doesn't that make sense? It does. Now, for the scripture twisters out there who say, no, Jesus didn't mean that at all, and you can't ever, ever put your spouse away, even for illicit sexual immorality, they say. For them, we're going to talk about the issues that their bad theology brings about. There are groups, they're mostly Anabaptists, Mennonite, Kingdom groups, that they say fornication does not mean adultery. Only sex before marriage, and they like to use the betrothal time. So in the Jewish culture, there was a betrothal time. I guess we would call it an engagement in today's age, where an engaged man would find out his wife had some impurity, and he would put her away before the actual marriage took place. And they were saying that's what Jesus was talking about, fornication before the marriage took place. Once you're married, they say you can't put anyone away, no matter what. Well, that scenario that they're talking about is highly unlikely that Jesus is talking about the betrothal period. Let's talk about why. Fornication means porneia, which is adultery, and it means that even in the Old Testament. So that backs it up. The context in Matthew 19, Jesus is talking to Pharisee leaders, Jewish men. Most of them probably already married. They weren't marrying, they weren't young men marrying virgins there. Think about it. He's talking to older leaders. The context was he was talking about marriages because they said, Moses allowed us to divorce. They're talking about marriages, not betrothals. And adultery has already happened, as I explained. So Jesus is saying, divorce her, the bond is already gone. There's no more two flesh made one because she's laid with another. So all this makes perfect sense when you think about it. Two people committed to each other. They have a covenant and a bond. It's broken by one of them committing adultery, porneia, fornication. It allows you to put them away because the marriage bond is over. God divorced Israel because of her infidelity towards him. Did you know that? Twice. Yep. I talk about that in all my other articles. So what I'm contending here is that their theology does not work when you run all the scenarios regarding marriage, right? We must make sure that we always have all of our sides covered when we have a theology so that we don't leave ourselves open. Like a war, you have fronts, right? There's an eastern front, western front, northern front, southern front, whatever. If you leave one of your fronts open, your enemy's going to find it and exploit it. They do that with this divorce and remarriage theology. I showed you in other articles how they come up wrong. I'm going to show you in this one. When they say, oh no, it's not adultery sets you free to divorce. I'm going to show you. When it's played out, this scenario, it cripples their logic, leaves them wide open, and makes a mockery out of God's truth. Let me give you a quick example from one of my other articles of how they leave their fronts wide open, right? We're in a spiritual war. And it cripples them. It's hanging them theologically. It's another nail in their coffin. Let me give an example. 1 Corinthians 7, I just did a teaching article on this. They say, 1 Corinthians 7, when Paul's talking about marriage, oh, it includes the unbelievers too. All that applies to unbelievers. Well, so when Paul says, if you're married to an unbeliever and the unbeliever dies, okay, then you can go marry again, but only to a believer. So if Paul's speaking to the unbelievers, if what he's saying applies to unbelievers, that means you could be an unbeliever, married to an unbeliever, your unbeliever dies, so then you're free to remarry, but what? Paul says you can only marry in the Lord, another believer. Wait a minute, you're an unbeliever, how can you marry in the Lord if you're an unbeliever? How could you ever remarry again? You can't. It doesn't work, and that's because Paul isn't speaking to the unbelievers. He's speaking to believers. He says so in Romans, and in 1 Corinthians 1, he says to all the churches everywhere that call on the name of Christ. Paul is teaching to the believers. So that's one example of how their theology leaves them wide open. They leave their front wide open, and they make a mockery of God's truth. Now back to the exception clause. Let's do a mock scenario with their theology. And we will use believers in this theology, in this mock setup scenario, as God's word is speaking to believers, as I just showed you. Okay, so hear me out now. Believer Bob is married to believer Sally. Both believers. Sally decides to go out and start laying with Robert on a regular basis. So she goes outside her two flesh made one bond, her marriage covenant. Bob finds out about this and he's upset. But based on the Anabaptist theology saying Jesus said, oh no, you can't put your wife away even for adultery, he has no grounds to put her away and end the marriage. They say, no, you can't do it till death do you part. They have this mystical bond for marriage that's not biblical, but they've invented it. Bob cannot put Sally away. Per the Anabaptists, their so-called lifelong mystical marriage bond, now Sally can continue in her whoredom with Robert, and she must remain married to Bob because they have a once-in-a-lifetime marriage bond, and she can keep laying with Bob because Paul said our bodies are given to our partner, don't withhold them. So she can lay with Robert, and Bob has to keep laying with his wife, knowing she's laying with Robert. Think about that. This makes such perversion and corruption. Instead of Jesus' word that says adultery, fornication separates you, breaks that vow, you can put her away. The Anabaptists say, you can't put her away. Only death separates you. Poor Bob is stuck with a whoring wife, and he's got to keep sleeping with her, according to Apostle Paul, to surrender each other's body to their partners. Now, to make it even worse, All right. Bob is, as I said, Bob is continuing to have relations with Sally, knowing she's also sleeping with Robert. Bob has no recourse, okay? And he's going to be enslaved with that type of partner. Now, to make it worse, think of a woman. It's not worse, but it's another scenario. Think of a woman with a man who goes whoring around, I'll say. He's with harlots all the time. According to Anabaptist, she can't put him away or divorce him and break their bond. It's already been broken, but she can't do that. She has to keep laying with this man, knowing he's out with other women all the time. Everyone knows her husband's out sleeping around, but she continues in her one marriage for life and bears it. Now, and the Anabaptists will say, well, she could stop doing that and, you know, maybe, I don't know what they say. The scripture says if you're married, you have to give your body to each other. It doesn't work. It makes absolutely no sense. And in this crazy world we live in today, think about it. You could have a person that says they're now bisexual. So your husband could go laying with other men, and he'd come back and still want to be with you, and you have no recourse, according to the Anabaptists, the kingdom people, because you only get one marriage for life, and you can never break it until that person dies. This is craziness. This is confusion. God is not the author of confusion. If you take away the exception clause, you turn God's beautiful design of two becoming one in a faithful covenant union, you turn it into a total heretical mess. And that's just what they have done right here. And that's what I'm showing to you. This is not of God. This is of man-made religion. Bad theology causes total perversion. Their front is left wide open. Their theology is left wide open. And I'm here to expose it because they're false teachers and they're deceiving people. Jesus indeed allows for us to end a marriage where there's fornication, adultery, sexual immorality. When it's happened, God's not the author of confusion. Especially in marriage bonds and covenants where he calls for faithfulness. He always called for Israel's faithfulness, and when finally she wasn't faithful, he divorced her, right? By saying you can't put away your spouse for adultery or any reason, it means you've corrupted the design that God laid out in the beginning. God had Moses allowing divorce. Jesus allows divorce. Apostle Paul allows for divorce. My articles cover that. Paul, even in 1 Corinthians 7, protects a woman. Let's say you have a husband that's abusive. He beats her, maybe. Paul says, if she divorces her husband, she cannot remarry until he dies. So, if that man is not sleeping around, but he's abusive, she can separate and divorce him. She just can't remarry. So, there's protection for the woman. But, if she's a believer, she is in that marriage bond with that man until there's fornication. God gave us the example. As I said, he divorced Israel twice. She was unfaithful. Go read Jeremiah 3. He likens her sin to spiritual adultery. And the word fornication in the Old Testament, it means adultery. Let me give you an example. Isaiah 23:17. And it shall come to pass after the end of 70 years that the Lord will visit Tyre, and she shall turn into her hire, and shall commit fornication with all the kingdoms of the world upon the face of the earth. That word zona means to commit adultery. Okay, fornication is adultery in the Old Testament. It backs it up, what I'm saying. Now, to make things even worse, these Anabaptist kingdom Christian heretics will tell these same people that have had divorce in their pre-Christ life, so divorce before they were born again, they'll tell them that you got to, if let's say people were remarried, then became Christians, they got godly families today, they'll tell you got to dump your wife or dump your husband, break up happy homes in Christ, and go back to your partner and get remarried. Or go back and be with them. You know, in Deuteronomy 24, God called that an abomination. You going back with an old partner when they've already laid or you've laid with someone else, that's an abomination unto God. And these heretics tell people to destroy homes and do it. That's why I speak out against it. They're in the wrong, and they must be called out. They're keeping the doctrines of men, not the Holy Scriptures. They started this doctrine so they could keep their little communities after they stopped preaching the gospel and they settled for safety and peace and joy and comfort. They decided not to have any divorced people into their communities, and that's when they changed these doctrines. Menno Simons did not teach what they teach. He believed adultery broke your marriage bond. He believed pre-conversion marriage was forgiven by the blood of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, all things are new. The people that they quote, like early church fathers, many of them did not believe what they teach. They changed their theology, like Pharisees, to keep their little communities so-called pure. It's wicked and it's heretical. Jesus meant exactly what he said. Marriage is a physical covenant of two becoming one flesh. When that's violated, when you bring other flesh in, God allows for divorce. We see it all over the scriptures. If we ban that option, when someone commits adultery, like I told you, it forces you to keep lying with your partner as they're committing adultery. It creates this wicked web that's not of God, and it's going to lead to more destruction and more debauchery. Make sure you know the truth on this topic. Make sure you're testing yourself like a Berean. Don't just listen to these people. They quote one scripture verse and say, see, no divorce and remarriage. Study the scriptures, rightly divide, study to be approved. As I'm showing you with the series of articles I'm doing, their exception clause falls apart when they say it's only fornication, it's only for betrothal. Jesus wasn't talking to those who were concerned with betrothal, right? Jesus was talking about those who committed adultery and that their partner could put them away. They've already committed adultery. God allowed for divorce. I've got some more steps, some more articles I'm going to do on different ideas. I've got one that I'm going to talk about with Joseph and Mary. I've got another where I'm going to talk about Malachi 2, where it talks about divorce. So I'm adding these here to help people that either have divorce in their pre-conversion life or people going through hard times now, listening to these false teachers. Hardly anyone's refuting them out there, and they're causing destruction. And I want to stand up for the truth of God. I want to stand up for my brothers and sisters. I want to proclaim the blood of Christ cleanses you from past sin, all past sin. And I want to proclaim that if you're in a one flesh covenant, two, a man and a wife become one, and your partner has broken that, you are no longer bound in that covenant per the Holy Word of God. So I hope that's edifying to you. Go to don'tperish.com, go to the teaching blog, or go to our teaching library. Look up divorce and remarriage articles. I've got lots of them there. Let me know how I can help you in the faith. Most of all, go to the gospel. Make sure you're born again and walking, following Christ with all that you are. Most of the people teaching these false doctrines, they're not even born of God. They're born of some man-made churchianity community. They believe baptism saves you. They believe all kinds of heretical things, and they drag in their false theology. They leave their front wide open. I'm going to be doing a teaching on that too. We're in a spiritual war. Our theology must cover us in all areas, on all fronts. If you believe something that you can't defend in a situation that comes up, there's a good chance that it's not of God. It's of you or man-made religion. You need to repent and tweak your theology so you're covered in all areas. The things that I teach on marriage and divorce, every situation someone has brought to us or we have experienced, what we teach is covered in the Word of God. Not one is left wide open. Not one we cannot answer for. That's what happens when you're a Berean. It's not my truth. It's God's Word. And when you know it, you teach it, you live it, you stand on it, it covers you in all areas. We serve a good Father. His Word is perfect and complete. I'm going to leave it right there. Till next time, go out and have a joyous day. Let me know I can help you in the faith. May God be praised.